cómo no presentar a Elvis Costello con esta bellísima versión del clásico de Aznavour, una canción que él regrabó en 1999. Recordamos, banda sonora de la película de Notting Hill. Y así podríamos ir en muchísimas canciones que han ocupado lugares privilegiados en todo el mundo. Es un hombre de muchos éxitos, muchos éxitos. La noticia es que nuestro invitado, el señor Elvis Costello, que ha ganado varias veces el premio Grammy, que está en el Salón de la Fama, que tiene todos los méritos, ha presentado con su banda Los Impostores, The Imposters, The Boy Named If. Mr. Costello, thank you very much for being on our show. Good morning and good luck with your new record.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. How unusual to hear she coming over the airwaves. A record which the man who asked me to sing it for the Notting Hill film said, I'm going to ruin your reputation. Because it's such a contrast to the most of the other music that I've ever made. But it sounds lovely this morning. Thank you.
Sounds beautiful. We love this song. Tell me a little bit about the boy named If.
Well, this is a record that we made in the summer of 2020 when we couldn't be on the road. It was impossible for us to be on the road, as you know. Everybody was locked away in their houses. And we decided that our reaction to this would be to play music together. With my friend in The Imposters, three of us have worked together for 45 years on and off. The band has existed for 20 with Davey Farragut playing bass. So we have a lot of life and experience between us in music and in life. And I tried to write a group of songs that take us through different times in life, and some of the comedy, some of the fear, some of the sadness, some of the joy. And that's what you hear on this record. It's a rock and roll record with a couple of ballads. And I'm very proud of it. And it was produced by our friend Sebastian Chris, who we've worked with. I met him in Miami more than 12 years ago now, and he's become such a friend and such a important colleague in producing so many records together over the last 4 years. Lots of different types of music, and we have developed a very good way to work where we understand one another, and that's what you hear on The Boy Named If.
Lo nuevo de Elvis Costello, este es su tercer sencillo, Farewell OK. Veníamos de Paint, de Red Rose Blue, y veníamos de Magnificent Heart, que fue el primer éxito del disco. Hay que recordar que ese socio al que él hace referencia se llama Sebastián Cris. Bueno, es argentino. Grace, ¿qué más dijo?
Dice que es un disco que hicieron en el verano del 2020, no podían estar de tour, por supuesto, por el confinamiento, entonces decidieron tocar juntos. Nos dice que son tres en el grupo que han tocado alrededor de 45 años y la banda lleva ya 20 años, así que tiene mucha experiencia en la música y en la vida también, así que las canciones son sobre todos esos diferentes momentos que vivieron y que les recuerdan diferentes sentimientos. Es un disco de rock and roll con algunas baladas, está muy orgulloso de él, como usted dice. Sebastián Chris lo produjo en Miami, una persona que conoció hace 12 años, se ha convertido en un gran amigo, un colega importante con el que ha hecho muchos discos en los últimos años de diferentes tipos, se entiende muy bien y eso se siente en el disco.
Goodbye, so Rock and roll, rock and roll. Eso es Elvis Costello. Elvis, we can say that you are a romantic rock and roller.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I think you got to keep the feeling. You got to keep the sway. You got to keep the swing in the rock and roll. You take that away, you lose all the wickedness, the naughtiness of it, whatever you want to call it, the sexy feel of rock and roll music, syncopated music, wherever it comes from in the world. You know, you probably know that Sebastian and I worked together on a record called Spanish Model, which was a remix of our second album, and we invited a cast of Spanish-speaking singers to adapt my lyrics and put new vocals over the Attraction's original tracks. So these two records have kind of like followed one, 43 years apart, but they're an approach to rock and roll. And hearing new voices, people such as Bonnet, Sebastian Yatra, Cammy, and Raquel Sofia from Puerto Rico, really singing my songs back to me was inspiring. And it also opens up the world for us because we haven't visited many Spanish-speaking countries outside of Spain and Argentina. So we look forward to doing that when that becomes possible and bringing The Boy Named It and all the other songs I've got. I have lots of songs and I have a fantastic band that can help me play those. So it's an exciting moment for us, and it should never get old and tired. You should always feel grateful to be doing what you're doing if you're working in music.
No le molesta para nada ese título, dice que ese sentimiento, el swing y el rock and roll siempre deben estar vivos. Nos dice que no hay que perder eso porque si no se pierde ese interés y esa onda sexy que tiene el rock and roll. Y nos dice que Sebastián y él han trabajado juntos en diferentes discos y nos dice que esas líricas que ha tenido se han traducido también en el español en el pasado y pues escuchan nuevas voces cantando sus canciones como de Sebastián Yatra, de Cami, de Juanes, y eso pues no le molesta, eso por el contrario le gusta mucho porque no han visitado muchos países de habla hispana, salvo España y Argentina, y quieren hacerlo mucho más, así que le parece que se canten esas canciones en el mundo, es inspirador y los abre al mundo.
This is my favorite, Talking to a Red Rose. Elvis, explain something to me. How can you travel from Sebastián Yatra, Colombian guy, and also Nina Simone, and also Burr Bacharach, and also Charles Aznavour, and still keeping your rock and roll feeling?
Well, why that is? Because I've had these invitations and opportunities to leave the place I started in and learned something new. Those collaborations, whether it would be with jazz musicians, string quartets, orchestra, writing songs with Paul McCartney, writing with the New Orleans great musician Alan Toussaint to write 30 songs with Burt Bacharach and still be working with Burt Bacharach today. We were recording two songs last summer with a 30-piece orchestra, was just as thrilling as working with a rock and roll band. But when you pick up the electric guitar again, it feels brand new to you because you've been doing something else. If you did the same thing every day, it could become very, very routine to you and the surprises wouldn't be there. So these songs on The Boy Named If came to me very fast, and I recognize them as needing the kind of playing that only the imposters can bring to this. And as I say, it's a lot to do with trusting one another. We didn't even need to be in the room together. It wasn't possible to be together to record this record. And I don't think you can tell that we were actually thousands of miles apart because we did the things in quick reaction to each other and it was still a conversation in time and space.
Nos dice que ha tenido invitaciones y oportunidades de hacer música y viajar distintos al lugar en el que empezó. Por eso ha hecho jazz y ha hecho música de orquesta. Ha trabajado con Paul McCartney, ha hecho música también en diferentes canciones, más de 30 con Burt Bacharach. Nos dice que en el verano pasado pudo grabar dos canciones y luego vuelve a la guitarra eléctrica y se siente como nuevo, y eso hace que no se sienta rutinario, porque si uno hace lo mismo todos los días, no hay sorpresa. Entonces nos dice que esa oportunidad ha sido enriquecedora.
Mr. Costello, I want to ask you about this song that we're hearing in the background, Oliver's Army, that I think it was one of your greatest hits back in the UK on the day. I think it was number two, if I don't remember wrong. And some recent news. I want to understand why you decided and why you asked radio stations to stop playing this song of yours. Why did you decide this at this time?
This is a difficult thing to explain. I don't want there to be any confusion, because this is a decision that I've thought about for a long time. In this second verse of this song is a racial slur which was directed at my grandfather, who was Irish. He was a member of the British Army, and towards Irish people. But it contains a word. One of those two words is a word that people rightly are very questioning and offended by when it's heard out of the context that I meant it. And I think it's time for us to take an informed decision to... I just don't want to perform the song and have it misunderstood, because I feel I've had 43 years for my story about young Irishmen ending up in the British Army and being sent off to fight for the crown. That's been heard, and you can listen to it on a record. I don't think it's right to edit the lyrics of songs to change the meaning of them and maybe cause offense to people who I never intended to offend. So I can live without people hearing this song from me in concert, because I have 600 other songs that I can sing you. So I hope people can respect that decision. This was only my decision. Nobody told me to do this. And anybody that wants to tell me I'm a hypocrite or a coward for doing this, they have to say that to my face and see what happens next. You know?
Yes. Es algo difícil de explicar, no quiere que haya confusión en esto, es una decisión que pensó por mucho tiempo. Nos dice que en el segundo verso hay, digamos, unas palabras que pueden ser malinterpretadas, hay dos palabras que si se saca del contexto en las que él las quiso utilizar puede, digamos, ofender a ciertas personas. Eso se trata de un hombre de Irlanda que fue al ejército británico y dice que pues no quiere presentar esta canción y que no se entienda bien, entonces ya tiene más de 600 canciones otras que puede cantar, así que no le molesta simplemente sacarla para que la gente no se ofenda, y quien le diga que soy un hipócrita que se lo diga en la cara para ver qué es lo que pasa.
Elvis, thank you very much. As much as I do not speak Spanish, as you know, but I really appreciate you taking the time to translate that, as I understood, you know, clearly, because this is really sensitive area. And I think there's so much division and so much hatred. I sung a song that my friend Nick Lowe wrote, What's So Funny About Peace, Love and Understanding? And that's a song I will never drop from my show, because unfortunately we have to keep asking that question, you know?
Thank you. Mr. Costello, I want to take you back to 1987, because you had the chance to be on stage with a legend, Roy Orbison. What do you remember of that night when you had the chance to play along with that great, great man, that legend of music?
Well, that was one of the most exciting shows I've ever been part of. I don't get to play other people's songs as a member of the band very often. You know, I'm the singer in a band usually. Very rarely have I ever been in somebody else's band. And I was the rhythm guitar player behind Roy Orbison while he sang this extraordinary concert in front of an invited audience at the Ambassador Hotel in the Coconut Grove, a famous venue in Los Angeles. And he sang all of his hits through the 1960s, and still was in this most beautiful, dramatic, emotional voice. The only song sung that night that wasn't written by Roy Orbison was my song, The Comedians, I wrote for him, which was an incredible compliment that he paid me to include that in the repertoire. And over the evening, the musicians who had backed Elvis Presley, the TCB band, James Burton. We had guest appearances. I mean, the backing singers were Bonnie Raitt and Katie Lang and Jackson Browne and Stephen Souls, Jennifer Warnes. The guest singers were included Bruce Springsteen, and Tom Waits made an appearance playing organ. It was such an exciting evening. In the audience was Kris Kristofferson and Leonard Cohen. I mean, there were, it was a very, very special occasion. And, you know, it's rightly become a very famous concert film. It was beautiful.
Fue uno de los shows más emocionantes que ha hecho. Nos dice que él por lo general es el cantante y raras veces está en la banda de otro, y es, en ese momento tuvo la oportunidad de tocar la guitarra mientras él cantaba y cantó todos sus éxitos. Roy Orbison nos dice que todos los escribió él, excepto de uno, The Comedians, que fue escrito por nuestro invitado y lo incluyó en el repertorio. Y nos dice que hubo invitados especiales en ese concierto como Bruce Springsteen, y nos dice que fue una noche absolutamente emocionante y una ocasión especial. Se ha convertido en un concierto absolutamente icónico.
Mr. Costello, and now I want to go to this song, one of your greatest hits, of course, Pump It Up, and some recent controversy regarding one of the most important young artists of this time, Olivia Rodrigo, that used, of course, have a very similar riff of your song on her latest single, Brutal. What do you think about this? Do you think that there was some, I don't know, intention of creating this plagiarism or not? Or maybe it's something that you don't care, or maybe don't put so much attention on it?
You know, I think if somebody took all of the lyrics of all of my songs and the melody, I would probably ask questions. But there's an awful lot of common ground between a lot of rock and roll songs. I mean, you know, 60 years ago, Chuck Berry wrote Too Much Monkey Business. 50 years ago, Bob Dylan wrote Subterranean Homesick Blues. 40 years ago or more, I wrote Pump It Up. And they're all related to one another by a rhythm and a similarity of delivery. Would you say they were the same song? No, not at all. Could any of them have been written without the other one coming first? Probably not. And that's what I hear in... I would find it hard to believe that Olivia Rodrigo had a copy of this year's model, because she's a young woman of 18, is writing her own songs and should have our respect and encouragement. I dare say some of one musician maybe suggested playing that figure, which resembles the guitar part on my record. And I think that's the way rock and roll functions. If it were a very obvious piece of theft, I would have said something about it. But I want to hear what she has to say next. And I think you have to have a sense of humor about these things. And if younger people become mildly curious to hear my song on which Olivia's record is in some way based, then I think that's a fair deal, you know?
Nos dice que, pues, si alguien toma toda la melodía y la lírica exactamente igual, pues obviamente haría preguntas, pero no siente que este sea el caso, porque nos dice que es muy común en las canciones del rock and roll, de pronto que se parezcan unas a otras. Muchas canciones se relacionan con la anterior, con el ritmo, y pues probablemente si una no hubiese surgido, la otra no se hubiese podido describir, porque pues sí tienen, digamos, cierta inspiración o relación entre ellas. Es difícil saber si Olivia Rodríguez, pues una mujer de 18 años, haya hecho esto, no lo cree, porque hay que más bien respetarla, alentarla como música. Hay una parte en la que una persona toca la guitarra muy parecido, pero no es algo obvio. Quiere escuchar qué va a hacer Olivia Rodrigo después. Nos dice que hay que tener cierto sentido del humor con esto.
This question is about your look, because there is something very particular about you, and it is that all along through the years, you've been using a kind of frame that is a white frame, black frame for your glasses. When did you choose doing this? Why? Why this kind of frames? Because, you know, usually rock stars, maybe they change over the years and they use one kind of frame and another kind. You always have your black wide frame for your glasses.
Well, as I'm speaking to you now, I'm wearing something quite different, so
really?
You'd be surprised. But I think when I started out, I didn't have a lot of confidence. I was 22. I knew I didn't look like anybody else who was in the pop hit parade. You have to remember, I grew up, when I first started playing in public before I had a recording contract, most people in rock and roll looked like, say, Robert Plant, you know, with a lot of hair and the shirt open to the chest and everything. And that wasn't the style. A lot of people, you know, there was glam rock where people, men wore a lot of mascara and rouge and it looked in this kind of dramatic way. And that wasn't a look that would suit somebody with my face. So I suppose I went the other way and just decided to look as ordinary as possible. And somebody suggested, why don't you switch from wireframes to black frames and make it even more, you know, like literally look almost like you're deliberately trying to look unhip. And I thought that was a good disguise because then I could get on with my work. And, you know, lots of people in show business have an alias. They have a made-up name. So I think it's been a very good disguise for my intentions, and it's allowed me to get on with my job, which is to write songs and sing.
Mr. Costello, thank you very much for your time. And we hope you can visit to our country, Colombia. You have a lot of friends here, and it will be a pleasure to have your new record.
This would be wonderful. We had a trip to Colombia planned a few years ago, and the tour, unfortunately, didn't occur. So we know very much that people are welcoming to us. And maybe now, with all of this new music, we can come and bring it to you. It would be very exciting. And thank you for your very thoughtful questions and your patience with my inability to speak Spanish, despite having produced a record entirely in Spanish.
No, don't worry.
It's very exciting to talk to you, and I really thank you very much.
Maybe you can bring Berbacara.
That would be lovely. I mean, wait till you hear the songs we're working on now. They are right up there with the one.
And
I get
also, you can bring Diana Krall.
Definitely, I know she'll want to come with me. Yes, that's a very good idea.
Bye bye, LB.